जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बालव गिरि बन दरे यशोरनन्दनं व्रज जनरञ्जनं यशोरनन्दनं व्रज जनरञ्जनं यमुना तेरा वनचरे जमुना तेरा वनचरे हो जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बालव गिरि बन दरे यशोरनन्दनं व्रज जनरञ्जनं यमुना तेरा वनचरे अजय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बालव गिरि बन दरे यशोरनन्दनं व्रज जनरञ्जनं जमुना तेरा वनचरे जय प्रभुपद जय प्रभुपद जय प्रभुपद जय प्रभुपद जय गिरि गोवर्धन जय गिरि गोवर्धन जय गिरि गोवर्धन जय गिरि गोवर्धन जय राधे श्याम जय राधे श्याम जय राधे श्याम जय राधे श्याम
Jai Nitya Lila Pravista Astatara Satasi Siman His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Prem Sikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Shridharadhar Shivasiti Gaur Bhaktivinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Shama Sunda Gopa Gopinath Sham Kunda Radha Kunda Gita Govardhan Ki Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Gaur Bhimanandi All glory to the Assam of the Buddha All glory to the Assam of the Bodhis. All glory to the Assam of the Bodhis. All glory to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, 13th chapter, verse 49.
Tasmin prasanne shakala shasham prabho. Kim dulabam tabir halam lavatmabhi. Ananya drishya bhajatam guhashayam. Svayam vidhate svagatim paraparam. Tasmin prashanne shakala shisham prabho. Kim dulabam tabhir halam lavat mabai. Ananya drishta bhajatam guhashaya. Svayam vidhate svagatim paraparam. Tasmin prasanne shakala shisham prabho. Kim dulabam dabhir halam lavat mabhi. Ananya drishta bhajatam guhashaya. Svayam vidhate svagatim paraparam.
Please chant.
Tasmin. Unto him. Pashane. Being pleased. Shakala Aishisham. Of all benedictions. Prabhu. Unto the Lord. Kim. What is that? Durlabham. Very difficult to obtain. Tabi. With them. Alam. Away. Lava Atmabi. With insignificant gains. Ananya Drishta. By nothing but devotional service. Bhajatam. Of those who are engaged in devotional service. Guha Ashaya. Residing within the heart. Svayam. Personally. Vidhate. Executes. Svagatim. In his own abode. Para. The supreme. Param. Transcendental. Before we move to the translation, a couple of these Sanskrit words are significant here. This lava atmabhi, insignificant gains. Now we know from, I think it was a couple of verses ago that I gave last week and the week before, the word lava, very small. Actually, there's two definitions in the Shastra for lava, one from the Bhagavatam, which says if you take a second, divide it into 45 parts, eight of those 45 parts, that's a lava. So an eighth of a second divided into 45 parts. And the Bhagavatam says 11 parts of a second. Either, Chaitanya Charitamrita, I'm sorry, thank you, yeah. Either way, an insignificant amount of time. It's just like, what? How did that happen? You know. So similarly here, we see the amount of gains that one can make, as we'll see in the translation, insignificant. And then the other word here, bhajatam. This breaks up into so many different divisions, but bhaja, to worship, or bhajan, to engage in the practice of worship, or bhajatam, those who are engaged in the practice of worship, in devotional service. So just a couple of nice words to know there. From time to time, it's nice, important, and beneficial to take a look at some of these Sanskrit words and break them up and see what their meaning is as it applies to the verse. Manamati Guha, do I remember that has something to do with like being hidden or like a cave or, yeah, out of sight. So Guha Ashaya, residing in the heart. The Lord's residing in the heart. He's not visible. He's out of sight, kind of in a cave, kind of hidden away, but he's there. So at any rate, translation. Nothing remains unachieved when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased by someone. By transcendental achievement, one understands everything else to be insignificant. One who engages in transcendental loving service is elevated to the highest perfectional stage by the Lord himself, who is situated in everyone's heart. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter, 10th verse, the Lord gives intelligence to the pure devotees so that they may be elevated to the highest perfectional stage. It is confirmed herein that a pure devotee who constantly engages in the loving service of the Lord is awarded all knowledge necessary to reach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For such a devotee, there is nothing valuable to be achieved but the Lord's service. If one serves faithfully, there is no possibility of frustration because the Lord himself takes charge of the devotee's advancement. The Lord is seated in everyone's heart, and he knows the devotee's motive and arranges everything achievable. In other words, the pseudo-devotee who is anxious to achieve material gains cannot obtain the highest perfectional stage because the Lord is in knowledge of his motive. One merely has to become sincere in his purpose, and then the Lord is there to help in every way.
Oma Gyana Timidandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Minatasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Lam Jayate Girim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinitarino Vanchakapatirubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bahebacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Shikadadha Srivasidhi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My only constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune, and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste pleasure, my obeisances unto you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. I offer my respectful obeisances to you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. By your recitation, one attains transcendental bliss, because your syllables shower pure love of God. You are to be served by everyone, always, for you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna. So first of all, just to get it out of the way, my apologies for the confusion on yesterday's class. Anyone who's unclear how such a thing could happen, might I suggest you refer to Sri Ashopanasad, the introduction, the first paragraph of Prabhupada's introduction, and that gives a full explanation. So, so this verse today that we're looking at the conclusion of the description of the pastimes of Sri Vrahadev, it can be both very encouraging and at the same point a little disappointing. So we see here that a very bold statement is made by the spiritual master who has the potency to make such a statement, that being Maitreya Rishi. He's making these comments here. Nothing is unachieved for the devotee when Krishna is pleased with them. Now, this particular combination of words here isn't usually how it would be used. Nothing is unachieved. But if we look at the synonyms for this two words, not achieved, two particular synonyms really stood out to me. One was unfulfilled, and the other was fruitless. So the efforts of a devotee who pleases the Lord in devotional service are never unfulfilled and never fruitless. Now, this is ideally what we're looking for in the execution of devotional service, fulfillment. To get results, not mundane results, not some, you know, motivated results, but to see ourselves advancing. It's mentioned in many different places in the Shastra, and Prabhupada says this in many classes, that we can examine ourselves, we should examine ourselves to see, how am I advancing? I've been executing devotional service since, 1973, so 50-something years. So we should be able to look at ourselves and say, what advancement am I making? Am I making any advancement? Have I progressed from just having been some, bhakta that walked in the front door to someone that knows what the process of devotional service is all about? Srila Prabhupada's every desire was that when we become knowledgeable, often in classes, Prabhupada would say, quote something, say, do you know this? You're saying every day, do you know what the translation is? Or he would look for a verse and no one knew it. He'd say, do you know my books? Are you reading my books? No, we don't read the books. We simply distribute them. So Prabhupada's expectation was that we would be knowledgeable. As he said, like a lawyer knows his law books. If you go into any reputable lawyer's office, they have a bank of walls with books on all the different law subjects. And it's not that they've just been collected. They've studied them. They know what's in them. Similarly, you go into any devotee's home, so many books are there. And we should understand what's in these books. We should be able to appreciate what is the knowledge that's there and be able to look at it and be able to recite it, to show that we're actually making advancement, that we are fulfilled. So these are the efforts of a devotee when they please the Lord. They become fulfilled in this way. We can understand that these steps that we take that these daily functions that we do, that these principles that we live by, that they all bring us fulfillment because they are fruitful. If you plant I have this fig tree. Now, we've lived in Alachua for 29 years now. Shortly after we first moved here, I planted a fig tree. And so that fig tree, let's be moderate, say that fig tree's been there for 25 years. And when we moved to the new place that we live some 8-9 years ago, we dug that up and took it with us. In the course of those 20 plus years, I think I have probably gotten maybe 10 figs off of that tree. Not very fruitful. When you plant a tree that bears fruit, that's what you're looking for. I want some results here. There used to be a fig tree down by the old BTG house. This thing produced thousands of figs. There was one over here by where the old milking barn used to be too. Figs like anything. Anybody, so many people could go and pick unlimited figs. It was there. Now, some people, of course, don't like figs. I happen to be a real fan of figs, particularly fresh figs. But this tree that I planted is not very fruitful. 10 figs in the course of 20 years? It's like 2 figs a year. You come in with your 2 figs, okay, I'll now survive the winter. So this is not how we want to examine our devotional process. We want to see our path in devotional service be fruitful as much as anyone wants to reciprocate. So this is the very encouraging point. However, we also see, as I like to use the word, a caveat. A caveat means there's some condition. Something, all right, you can, you know, whatever. You get this, that, or the other, but on the condition that such and such. So the caveat here is that Prabhupada notes the pure devotee who engages in the Lord's service is rewarded by the Lord. So the pure devotee. Now, we can all readily agree that we're not pure devotees. I mean, just frankly speaking. Yet, on more than one occasion, Prabhupada referred to us as pure devotees. And how to understand that? He gave that classic example of a mango. A mango is always a mango. Whether it's a green mango or whether that mango is dripping with sweet juice and is golden colored, it's still a mango. And according to the different stages of its mangoship, we could say, it's got different uses and applications. It's not that while it's green, oh, this is a useless mango, just throw it away. You can make really, really good mango pickle out of green mango. Mango chutney out of green mango. So from one situation to the next, it can be used in a variety of ways. When it's very fresh, there's that wonderful way to cut a mango where you slice the halves off of the pit and then draw lines with a knife inside that whole half and then turn it inside out and those little squares pop up. It's a really nice way to offer a mango to the Lord. It's very easy just to take a spoon and pick those out. So, you know, but in a green mango, you can't do that. So green mango gets cooked differently. So a mango's a mango. So Prabhupada would often refer to us as pure devotees. Obviously, we're at different stages of that description. But from this verse, we can feel some happiness that there is some place for us in the path of devotional service. Now, here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada starts right off referring to Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, verse number 10. So I thought it would only be reasonable that we should look at that verse and his statements on it. Of course, the 10th chapter, 10th verse, Tesham Satyati Yuktanam Bhajitam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogamam Yenamam Upayanti Te. To those who constantly are devoted to me and serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Now, in Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse, in the fourth paragraph, he makes some points that are relevant to what we're speaking in this purport. And he says, a person may have a bona fide spiritual master and may be attached to a spiritual organization. But if he is not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instructions so that he may immediately come to him without difficulty. The qualification is that a person always engage himself in Krishna consciousness and with love and devotion render all kinds of services. He should perform some sort of work for Krishna, and that work should be done with love. If a devotee is not intelligent enough to make progress on the path of self-realization, but is sincere and devoted to the activities of devotional service, the Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately to obtain him. So truly, if we have sincerity and if we have devotion, Krishna will take care of us. There's that wonderful pastime with Mahaprabhu. He's traveling in South India and he sees that one Brahmin. Now the Brahmin was blind. He couldn't read. Or no, was he blind or illiterate? Either one. Yeah, so couldn't read the Bhagavatam. He's illiterate. But he would take the book and look at the pictures and look at the pages. And all of the local smarter Brahmins, they would laugh at him and tease him. Oh, hey, Brahmin, what are you reading? What are you learning from there? You know how sometimes you can make fun of someone in a very unpleasant manner. So they were teasing like this. But he was, no, my spiritual master has told me I should read Bhagavad Gita. Yes, but you are illiterate. You cannot read. No, but I am looking at the pictures. So Mahaprabhu saw it like that. And he asked him, he said, Brahmin, what are you reading? Now the Brahmin could understand. And Mahaprabhu is not teasing, making some joking words with me. So he told him, he said, yes, my spiritual master has told me to read. And even though I can't, so I'm holding the book and looking at the pages. And Mahaprabhu said, so what are you thinking when you're looking? Oh, I'm thinking how amazing it is that Krishna has become the charioteer for Arjuna and is giving him that guidance and direction. Mahaprabhu said, yes, you're the real devotee. So Krishna reciprocated. I can't read, but I was told to read, so I'm looking, but I know the idea, so I'm placing that understanding in my heart. Okay. So Krishna gave him the blessing. Mahaprabhu came and benedicted him. So this is how Krishna will take care of us. Therefore, Krishna says, yoga kshemam vahamyam. Those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, this is what the Brahmin was doing. He couldn't read the words, the letters, but he was meditating on that transcendental form of Krishna. To them, I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. So the Brahmin couldn't read the words, but Krishna, that's all right. You understand the message. And because he had that devotion, Krishna preserved that and he got the darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So again, we see that Krishna is always there for us, always ready to encourage us, always ready to give us that reciprocation. This is why we engage in devotional service so much. Time after time after time after time. Now, in the second line of this verse, the translation here, by transcendental achievement, one understands everything else to be insignificant. This goes back to that word lava atmabhi. As insignificant as that 1/8 or 1/11th of a second is, the devotee who's situated properly on the path of devotional service, executing their service, following the principles, working under the order of the spiritual master, studying the shastras, associating with Vaishnavas, so on and so on and so on. For such a person, everything else is as insignificant as that lava, as that 1/11th or 1/8th of a second, as that insignificant period of time, less than it takes you to snap your fingers. So Prabhupada re-emphasizes this in the purport by saying, for such a devotee, there is nothing valuable to be achieved but the Lord's service, or except the Lord's service. Now, I noted this in class I gave last week on Chaitanya Charitamrita. There are several examples of Prabhupada's disciples who were offered vast sums of money by their family members to leave up the path of Prabhupada's service, to come back to the family business, to take an interest in what we're doing here to promote the family business like this. They all refused. Why? Because the value of a lava is insignificant. All right, you're going to give me millions of dollars. You're going to give me checks for, you know, full of whatever. It has no significance in my life. So we can see for such devotees as that, that level of advancement where they have to examine themselves, you know, where we have to look at ourselves, look in our heart and see, am I actually making some progress here? Yes, because I've been able to turn down $1 million for the sake of executing service to Srila Prabhupada. And then ultimately, Krishna takes care of such devotees very nicely. So I was thinking about this in comparison to our Goswamis of Vrindavan. In our Goswamis of Vrindavan, we have two of them that have the same name, Raghunath. Raghunath Bhatta and Raghunath Das. Now, it's interesting because although their names are similar, although their ultimate path and achievement is the same, their backgrounds are completely different. Raghunath Das Goswami, as Prabhupada said, came from a family of millionaires. He said their income was 800,000 rupees at that time, which was a vast amount of money. And his father, Govardhan Majumdar, and the rest of the family, they wanted one thing out of Raghunath: to take up the family business, to continue and increase the wealth, to be a part of the functioning business model, we would say in our modern terms, of the family. This is what you should do. And to the point that they were opposed to his being involved in the following of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The mother was like, look, he's going to run away. Just chain him up. You know, the father was like, I've already chained him. He gave him a beautiful wife. I've given him unlimited access to wealth. I've given him a beautiful home. Who can, how did he say it? Who can chain up a madman of Chaitanya Chandra? So, you know, the family was not in support of his becoming involved in the renunciate life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when he finally did, they still couldn't cut those ties. The father was sending money and men regularly to him in Puri to take care of his necessities, of which he was using none of it for his personal use. Now, if we look at Raghunath Bhatta came in the family of Tapan Mishra. Tapan Mishra was one of the three devotees that Mahaprabhu sent to Benares, the seat of impersonalist thought, to promote bhakti, to promote this service to the Lord. Their full hope and encouragement was it for Raghunath Bhatta to go and join Mahaprabhu. Now, they were elderly and they were devotees, and Mahaprabhu told them, no, you stay with your parents, take care of them until they depart this world, then you can come. But the mother and father, at some point, they said to Raghunath, no, we, in modern terms, if you will, we've got this. Don't worry about it. You go join Mahaprabhu. We can take care of ourselves. Things are in place here, whatever their retirement program was. You know, everything's in place. You simply go and join Mahaprabhu. So two personalities, same name, same connection to Mahaprabhu, same importance in our line, vastly different support systems from their family. So, you know, this is for one who has that focus in devotional service. Everything else is insignificant. Lava Atmabhi. Now, this is a contrast to the heart of a devotee who wants nothing except for the service to the Lord. Now, others, you know, they're looking for all types of material successes. They're looking for, you know, big bank accounts or fancy cars or a large home or whatever, you know, all of these different things, you know, successful businesses and, you know, having their name on Forbes 500 list and all these different, these are their goals, you know. But This is not what the devotee has in their heart. This is not what they want. And how do we see this difference? Well, Prabhupada says here, if one serves faithfully, there is no possibility of frustration. When you're trying to achieve a goal, there's nothing more frustrating than it not happening. I have a fan slash heater in our house. And I got it. It was a display item. I got it from the store where I work, but it had no cord. So I had to wire a cord to it. Simple thing. Anybody can do it. And then after a couple of years of running like that, it shorted out. So I know a little bit about electricity. So I took it to my workshop, opened up the bottom, and I could see, oh, yeah, the wire came loose here and caused a short. Okay, so let me put it back together, put the whole thing back, take it back in, plug it in. About an hour later, short it out again. All right, well, I don't have time today, but tomorrow I take it back out to the workshop, take the bottom off, pull it out. Oh, I see what happened here. This is going to, okay, rewire it again. Take it back in, put it back together, take it back in, plug it in. About 2 hours later, now it doesn't just stop, it blows a fuse. Everything in the living room goes out. So, okay, now I got to, you know, turn this breaker switch back on. This is really getting frustrating. I'm not getting my goal here. The goal is to make this thing work. So, all right, let me see what's happened here. Okay, so let me cut an additional piece of wire, connect it to here, run it out to here, then make the connection out here. Okay, good, that'll work. Okay, put the wire nuts. You got to have wire nuts and put it all back up in there, put it back together. Okay, great. Okay, now, works nicely. But because of the addition of those plastic wire nuts to hold the wires together properly so they don't short out, it won't rotate like it used to. And it makes that noise. So frustrating. All I wanted to do was for the thing to work. That was my goal. But I was frustrated in that effort. But a devotee is not frustrated in their effort to execute devotional service, because they execute it faithfully. They have faith in the words of Krishna, yogakshemam vaham yam. They have faith in the words of Srila Prabhupada, simply engage in devotional service, chant, dance, and be happy. So because we have that faith, there's no possibility. Not that, you know, maybe it'll work out for you. There's no possibility of frustration. In other words, we're guaranteed to not be let down. We're guaranteed that we're going to make progress on the path of devotional service. In this world, we find so much lets us down. Family, spouse, friends, associates, you know, so many different things. These relationships are all based on a material concept, and therefore they will materially dissolve. All material things have a beginning and an end. This we understand. Only in the spiritual sense, in the spiritual world, is there no beginning and end. There's no time factor. There's no start and finish. Krishna's pastimes are always going on. The devotees are always engaged in service to him. They're always lifting Govardhan Hill. They're always, enjoying Krishna, you know, all these different pastimes. So, and there's a reason why this is important to understand. Because, as it says in this purport, the Lord is seated in everyone's heart, and he knows the devotee's motive. Now, that might be a little scary, you know. Oh, he knows what I'm thinking? Oh, boy. There's a wonderful story regarding Govardhan Hill. When a devotee does circumambulation or Dandabat Parikram of Govardhan, many times you'll see, like, you know, I've been to Govardhan a couple of times, many times you'll see families out there, you know, or a young couple out there doing side by side, or students. And many times they have a particular motive. Want to have a son. So the husband and wife are doing Dandabat Parikram. I want to pass my exams, which are coming up. So the student is doing Dandabat Parikram. I want to be successful in this business effort. So the businessman is doing Dandabat Parikram. Now it's explained that when the devotee does this service, Govardhan is there following behind. And he's listening to what is the heart of this devotee.
oh, I want children, oh, I want success, oh, I want to pass my exams. And Govardhan's mood is with the back of the hand, yes, you take. Something insignificant, something lava. Oh, you want that meteorite, you take it. You know, that kind of, you know, the child wants something that, go ahead and take that. You know, I don't mind. It's insignificant. But when the devotee does this same service, the devotee simply wants to execute this service for the pleasure of the Lord. Perform this austerity for the pleasure of the Lord. So when Govardhan is following around and hearing that, oh, this is only for, yes, you may have. So this kind of frowning and yeah, go ahead and take, and this, yes, you take. So completely different mood, because Krishna is understanding the motive of his devotee in their service. What is our motive? Is it to gain some spiritual benefit, or is it to get some material reciprocation? Now, this pastime that I'm describing there is emphasized in Prabhupada's next statement here. The pseudo-devotee who is anxious to achieve material gains cannot attain the highest perfectional stage because the Lord is in knowledge of the devotee's motive. So if our motives are not pure in our heart, if our motives are tinged with some mundane desire, some material goal, some fulfillment that we want, we will be frustrated, because the devotee who cannot attain that highest perfectional stage. We may get our position that we're looking for. We may get our nice family situation. We may get a big bank account and still execute devotional service, but we will not attain the highest perfectional stage in the process of devotion. So these things will become impediments. This is why Prabhupada describes how when Krishna is very kind to a devotee, he takes everything away from them. His own life is an example like that, and there's so many devotees. If Krishna is kind, he removes those things which are impediments. Now, for some devotees, they won't be impediments. Some devotees can sit in the lap of luxury, in the lap of unlimited wealth, and engage very nicely, not be attached to it. Others, that type of involvement will be a very big distraction to their developing pure devotional service in the heart. So if one's goal is those material gains, then Krishna doesn't let it happen. And they won't attain that highest devotional stage. They won't get that advancement that we're looking at ourselves. Okay, how am I doing after X number of years of executing devotional service? Am I making advancement or not? Prabhupada said, you can understand if you're making advancement how much detached you are from material things. So we have to look at that. How strong is our attachment to A, B, C, D, and E? And that's how little our advancement is. And how much renounced we are from these things, even in spite of having them, maybe, then that's how much we're going to be able to determine our advancement. So we should always try and be very sincere. And by that sincerity, by that, sincerity and devotion, by that sincerity and devotion that we show exclusively in devotional service in our practices, then Krishna will, as we can say, guarantee it. We can take it to the bank. You know, you get a check. I got a check in the mail the other day for some dividend or something. It was 32 cents. 32 cents. Okay, you can take it to the bank. It's a lava. It's insignificant. The bank teller will even look at it and go, really? And if you ask for it back, you'll get some barely enough coin to put in the palm of your hand. But you can take it to the bank. It's guaranteed. So our advancement may be insignificant by standards, but if we are sincere and if we have devotion in our heart, you can take that to the bank, that Krishna will take care of you, that Krishna will give you that knowledge, that Krishna will give you that facility. And therefore, we should surrender to Krishna, because without his blessings,
without his kindness upon us, then how will we make any advancement? So this is why we're encouraged to worship, to remember, and to take shelter of Govardhan. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in his Govardhan Ashtakam, which is in his book Stavamala Lahari, Vinabhavekim Haridasya Varya Padashaya Bhaktirata Shayami Yameva Saprema Nijeshayoshi Govardhanamedishatam Abhishtam. Without taking shelter at the feet of the hill that is the best of Lord Hari's servants and is full of love for the divine king and queen, how is it possible to attain devotional service? May Govardhan Hill fulfill all my desires. So, thank you all very much. We'll finish there. Just a few words on this important verse as we wrap up this pastime of Lord Braha. If anybody has any questions, comments, corrections, chastisements, let them rip. Come on, Sthitanamuni, don't leave me hanging.
Well, on that 32-cent check, why didn't you just deposit it with, you know, your cell phone? Why did you go all the way to the bank?
I'm sorry?
You had a 32-cent check?
Ah.
Why don't you just deposit it on, you know, internet banking? Then you don't have to go all the way to the bank.
Well, I do drive right by the bank every day to work, right. So it wasn't out of the way. yes, Prabhuji.
The verse you quoted about worshiping Govardhan, it sounds like if you don't do that, you can't get the goal of devotional service, but certainly Prabhupada didn't mention things like that very much. We must worship Govardhan, or we're not going to achieve the goal of life.
Well, I mean, that's my particular view, but everybody knows I'm biased. You worship Radha Shyam, you know, whatever works for you. You have to worship Krishna. That's the bottom line, yeah. But I'm a little prejudiced. Everybody knows that. Anyone else? No? Okay, so we'll finish there. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Vaishnava Sangha. Hare Krishna.